What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I'm your host, Krista Salams, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
Wow, music to my ears. We are back.
Two months to the day since we last released. Holy smokes.
It's good to be back. Things have changed. All of our followers don't know, Chris, now a fiance. He's engaged. Clap it up.
Get engaged. Yes, yes, yes.
Very happy for you guys.
Yeah, it's been a crazy 2 months. Yeah.
It was a good 2 months to take off from podcasting.
Yeah, a lot has happened. Congrats, I guess. Happy belated congrats to the Vegas Golden Knights, Stanley Cup champions, 6 years old.
Congrats to your cousin.
Yeah, I guess. Congrats to you, bro.
Congrats to the orb.
I'm not jealous or bitter at all about that.
six years of pain, of course. Very difficult.
I've been watching hockey longer than they've been a franchise, and they won a cup before I got the same one. So love that.
But good 2 months to take off, but hopefully you're settling down now. Our friend Josh passes along his congratulations. I sure do.
Thank you. That's my goalie, man. Nothing but respect for him.
Still such a shame that the intramurals went down the way it did that second year, but.
Second year, first year, both years were just, it was just misery.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Chris and I went to college together. I feel like that's got to be a known fact by now, but.
Yeah, if you don't know that by now, then why are you listening?
Yeah, we have like -5 followers anyway. So if you're listening, I would hope you know, but yeah, good stuff. A little burden off your shoulders. Now we're back to podcasting.
And I got a wedding venue end date picked out. Yeah, I'm already ahead of the curve there. So, yeah.
We are old.
Yeah. I feel very old.
Hey, we should get that off though. Done and done.
Very excited about that. Helps planning, makes planning a lot easier. What have you been up to in the last 2 months since we've last recorded?
Yeah, right. Jeez. As if we don't talk like every day, basically via text. Yeah. Went to South Carolina. I remember 2 years ago it was much nicer because I had the honors to watch in the Eastern Conference final, but I don't know, nothing now. Watch Vegas win. Going to North Carolina in 2 weeks and just living our life, living a nice summer. Have yet to try your summer beer, to be honest, but
I have not had it much either. But there's a lot of summer left.
Fraud. It's going by fast though. I cannot believe it's the middle of July, and it makes me very sad. But
yeah, it is kind of crazy that summer is almost over and fall is right around the corner. But that means we're closer to football season, hockey season, so all the good sports will be back soon.
That is true.
Sorry to any baseball fans, but baseball's mid.
Yeah, gotta respect the pitch clock, but not my favorite sport. It's fun.
Baseball is fun to watch postseason. I like postseason baseball.
It's good to go to like a summer game every once in a while.
So I've been to a couple Nats games. I hate their stadium because they built it so poorly. And I just recently went to a DC United game earlier in the week, and they built that stadium poorly. So if you're not aware with where DC is and where these stadiums are, these are right along the East Anacostia, or the Anacostia River, which flows into the Potomac. So you'd think like we're on a body of water, we're near a body of water, there'd be a little bit of a breeze between like both of those stadiums. No, there's absolutely none. And the way they built the Nats stadium is 90% of the stadium is completely covered by sun all day long. Unless you're sitting in like the upper deck behind home plate where that's, you know, shaded. Literally the whole entire place is covered in sun. So the last game I went to, it was a late afternoon game too. So the way they schedule the games for Nats games most of the time during the weekend, Friday is a late game. They play at like 7 o'clock on Friday. It's 4 p.m. game on Saturday and then 1 p.m. game on Sunday. Mm. We went to the 4 p.m. Saturday game. I think we showed up a little late. I think we ended up showing up at like 4:45, 5 o'clock or something. It was still brutally hot out. I was dripping sweat. I was sitting in pretty much like right along like the in the right field, like right at all, like almost like on the foul line or whatever. And it was brutal, but yeah. So enough gripes about Nat Stadium.
Well, it's a little tangent. But I've been to a few Nats game. I got no beef, but I was also much younger, so I don't know. But the good news about not recording in 2 months is so much has happened. People are probably wondering where we were. We tweeted a little.
We were just collecting content. We were just sitting back and collecting. We're hoarding it like little fucking rats.
I mean, there's just so much content. I'm sure we're going to blow by a lot of it that we could have given more time to. But, you know, that's the summer. No regrets. We're just living our best life in the summer. We're not here to podcast about hockey, but now we're back and we have a lot to talk about. So it works out. So,
yeah, I guess we'll just jump into the first thing. The oldest piece of news. The Rangers officially have a head coach.
Yeah.
It feels like forever ago. I don't even remember how long. It feels like
he's been there for a while.
Yeah, I don't even remember how long ago they made the announcement. But if you've been living under a rock, Peter Laviolette is officially the New York Rangers' 39th head coach.
39th? That's crazy, actually.
Yeah.
I know they've been around for 100 years, but I mean, to average 2.2 coach, a coach every 2.3 years is kind of wild, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was a little shocked by that number, too. And what's weird is I felt coaches in the older, when hockey was, and there was only 6 teams, you wouldn't think that they're
cycling
through coaches as much as they are. But, and you gotta also think maybe it happened in the 70s and 80s and stuff. I don't know. But, yeah, Peter Laviolette, officially, the New York Rangers' next head coach. He brought along with him Phil Housley, most recently with the Arizona Coyotes. After a brief stint as the Buffalo Sabres head coach a couple years before that.
Great assistant in Nashville, though. I just don't think he's the guy, but fantastic assistant. One of the best defensemen of all time. So,
yeah. So pumped to see that. Dan Muse, most recently the United States under 18 coach, I believe. He helped pick a lot of those. Guy.
Yeah,
he helped make a lot of those picks. I think the first and second round, I think when Perrault fell to the Rangers, I think he was telling them they have to jump all over him. Yeah. And then former Islanders legend, Michael Pekka.
Oh, break my heart. Oh, captain, my captain. I don't know. I wasn't even around for Pekka's time, where I was a wee lad. So, you know, it makes me realize that the Rangers are definitely – I don't know what your take on this is, but with what's his name? Muse? That's his first. Dan Muse and Pekka, who's a developmental guy. They're kind of we really need to get Lafreniere and to a lesser extent, Kako going.
With Kako, I think if he could just shoot the puck a little bit more and score. I think if he could just score a little bit more, I think we'll see a significant jump. And because I really just think the scoring is the aspect of his game that isn't there right now, because defensively, I don't think he's terrible. With the puck on his stick, he's not bad. He's just not shooting or scoring as much as you'd like. Yeah, Laf needs to make the big step. So I'm hoping these guys can come in and maybe give Laf that confidence, that first overall confidence pick, player he was in the queue. So I definitely think they're also thinking long term with these guys. They have a lot of young guys in the AHL. You know, they have a lot of contracts. They can't really move right now. But who knows? Yeah. Maybe guys will waive no move clauses, or when the cap jumps up, they'll be able to bring some guys in. Because again, another spoiler alert: the Rangers signed a lot of 1-year deals this most recent free agency period. So, are expecting a lot of holes again in the lineup come next summer. But yeah, no, I've had some time to digest this. I think Laviolette said Laviolette said pretty much all the things that you expect a new coach to say.
He's saying good things.
A lot of good things, things you expect to hear from him. So excited to see, what kind of coach he's going to be for this team. I definitely know he's going to hold this team way more accountable. I think he's going to help Trouba kind of develop as a captain a little bit more and get more out of him. And I think having these Housley as a defensive guy and these younger coaches that'll help develop some players. I think this is the best
staff
bench I've seen for the Rangers in quite some time. So,
it's interesting because it was a weird coaching cycle, right? I think when I first saw it, I think he's going to be a good coach for the Rangers. it just seems like they got caught in a bad cycle because the two options were really Laviolette and Hines. And Hines would have been a disaster. So I'm glad for your sake they didn't go that route. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, same.
It feels like Laviolette's kind of like, I think he'll be good. And I'm not trying to throw like a party against the Rangers' wishes here, but I think it's a very average hire. But I think that's also just because of the circumstances, kind of, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Like the Rangers kind of found themselves in the same situation 2 years ago when they hired Gallant. Like, he wasn't the guy to get them to the promised land. And, you know, that first season, if he was able to, it would have been like, oh, different story. Classic but, Gallant. You know, it kind of fell apart year two in classic Gallant fashion. I think Laviolette, I think, caught a lot of like strays or a lot of like bad press because he decided to take a head coaching job for a Caps team that was clearly on the downward trend.
Yeah.
With not a lot of great players, not a lot of good depth. So he's stepping into a team. Hopefully he can get out of this Rangers.
He's a better veteran.
Got out of that Nashville team.
They made it to the cup final under him. I mean, he's a cup champ too with Carolina. So it's possible. So, I just wonder, like, with Laviolette. Now I totally forgot my train of thought. What was I going to say? You just go ahead. I'll think of it.
I think, like, for me, the biggest worry is, like, how, you know, he's been coaching for a while. So, like, I haven't been paying a ton of attention to him when he's coaching these other teams. But, like, has his style of coaching developed, you know, as the game of hockey has developed? You know, even when he was coaching Nashville 7 years ago, the game of hockey has completely changed since then when they went to the cup final. So it's like, I hope that he brings fresh ideas and is not going to just recycle stuff that maybe worked 10, 15 years ago and is not going to work now, especially since his team doesn't have a ton of speed. So you're going to have to figure out how can I get these guys to be efficient offensively and defensively when they're not going to be as fast as some of these newer players and these younger teams are. So hopefully he can figure that out.
No, I think that's all very valid. I mean, I think Laviolette coaches great teams. I think he's one of those guys that, like, he's going to have like structure, play the right way. I don't think he plays like that physical game per se. And I don't think he would with the Rangers necessarily, just because maybe on defense. Yeah. Because Nashville always had a pretty hard hitting defense when he was there, and Washington kind of strayed a little bit that way, but they're a little bit more puck moving. But I think Laviolette's like a great coach to keep the structure intact. It's just about, can he adapt enough in the playoffs, that style, to push him to like the next level? Like, I think the regular season, you guys are going to be great. The playoffs is where I'm like, you got to see what he's got now, you know?
Hey, man, I don't think they can jump over Jersey in terms of standings. But, hey, if they can get second place against someone and have home ice advantage and have to face Jersey or whoever in the second round, I'll take it.
Listen, you're just going to – you'll be happy starting game one at UBS, and then we'll send you on your merry way in 4 games. That's all we want, NHL. Can the scriptwriters please just listen to us? That's all I want.
I mean, they kind of did, but kind of didn't. We do have the – since we last recorded, the Rangers and Islanders outdoor game. Oh,
yeah.
We'll be there. We will be there. I don't care how cold it is, how much I got to pay for a ticket.
I'm going.
I'll be there. I'll be rocking the whatever Stadium Series jerseys they release. I'm going to buy one. I will be there. I will be in attendance.
We will be in the parking lot at 10 a.m. probably.
100%. I might even be drunk already.
Yeah, but I'm really hoping that. I'm hoping that game's sick. That's a great point. Forgot about that, but. It's something for a playoff series, man. It's all we want.
Maybe this year. The script writers might listen to us this year.
I hope so. I'll just call this after wedding if the Islanders lose the Rangers in the playoffs.
speaking about that stadium series, I mean, like, really weird that Jersey and the Flyers and the Devils and Flyers are playing the day before.
Yeah, it concerns me a little bit about the ice, but then again, what do I really care? I think the league just saw, like, oh, New Jersey team versus a well-traveling Philly fan base. Like, sure, but I'm very glad they put the Islanders and the Rangers against each other, because they could have easily went that Rangers-Devils route, so I'm glad that they didn't.
And it's like an early
– since 2014. It's crazy. Yeah,
and I think it's an earlier game, too. That Devils –
Oh, is it?
I think if I remember seeing it correctly, that Devils-Flyers game is like an 8 p.m. game on Saturday.
Oh.
And
oh, that's rough.
And also that next day it's President's Day. So
let's go.
Everyone has off let's that next go. Day too. So I think the
3 p.m. That's a great time.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
That is perfect, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like, you wrap that game up, you'd be home for dinner.
Oh man, that day is gonna be dangerous.
that's gonna be such a long day, such a long weekend. I'm so looking forward to it.
I can't wait. Do you know how many fights are gonna be? There's gonna be a couple fights in the stands, I think.
More than a couple. There might be like a couple hundred.
It's just a recipe for disaster.
Especially that stadium seats, I think, like 80,000 or something.
Oh man, I'm pumped.
It's gonna get so ugly.
Cannot wait.
And what's going to be uglier, that game or the St. Patrick's Day game against Rangers Islanders?
Oh my God. I cannot believe they scheduled Islanders Rangers St. Patrick's Day at the Garden. Are they dumb? I thank you for bringing that up. I cannot believe that. You know, Islander fans don't travel too well to MSG because it's so expensive, but like, talk about a recipe for freaking disaster when everybody's day drinking all day.
I mean, that's absolute nightmare fuel.
I almost want to go just to experience it. Sitting me up for deck with the I think I'd actually get beat up. That's crazy that they scheduled that.
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw that on the schedule. I was like, oh my God.
It makes for electric television though. So
It's gonna be insane television. There's gonna be, I think, a ton of fights on the ice. There's gonna be fights in the crowd. I mean, that's gonna be just brutal.
Yeah. And then just speaking of the schedule really quick, I mean, I don't know if you ever
that released too while we were gone.
Did I just want to point out the Islanders' last five games of the season, which I'm going to now. If you're in a playoff race here, imagine you're in a playoff race. The last five games: home against the Rangers, against Montreal, at the Garden on a Saturday day game, at the Devils, and then home against Pittsburgh. Oh. Talk about your season on the freaking line. Oh, that's gonna be electric.
The script writers, man, bravo.
Because you know it's going to come down to the wire for the Islanders. So.
Oh, yeah. It's going to come down to – it's going to be a win and we're in against Pittsburgh.
No, I can't do that again.
It's going to be a win.
I've been through enough this year with that. Since like forever ago, I was watching this stupid Blackhawks beat the Penguins, and that changed the course of history, apparently.
Nah, it's rigged. Fuck you, Gary.
But yeah, so we got some exciting things to cover. I'm looking forward to the stadium series, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I mean, back to our original topic of coaching changes. There was also a coaching change out in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Wow. Shocking. This happened today. It just came out of nowhere. The Islanders tweeted, like, thank you for 10 years of service, Brent Thompson. And everybody's like, what? But apparently, you know, seems like a very nice guy. All power to him. I wish him the best, but thank God he is out as coach in Bridgeport. I mean, he's going to Anaheim to be the assistant coach to Greg Cronin, former Islanders assistant coach, with Barry Trotz. So good for him getting a little promotion back to the big leagues. He was behind the Islanders bench as an assistant for a few years, but man, they needed a change behind the bench desperately. I mean, you look at some of those prospects that came through Bridgeport, some panned out, but you have like Dal Cole, Hosang, Griffin Reinhardt. It's like, it was not a good track record, but I'm curious to see what happens. It'll be good to have some fresh blood in there. People are saying Rick Kowalski, sick name, by the way. He spent 15 seasons with the Devils, shocker, with Lou, and he was their head coach in the AHL for 8 seasons, and then he just spent the last 2 years as an assistant in Bridgeport. So I'm going to guess it's probably going to be Kowalski down in Bridgeport, which would be good. We'll see what the new blood is. I mean, they lost their 3 leading scorers this offseason, so there's a lot of room for growth down there. So I'm very curious to see what happens. But I'm happy Brent Thompson got the promotion, just from a humanitarian standpoint. But good riddance is the moral of the story.
You won't be missed.
Oh, I just got alert. Lost connection to server.
I also did too. Okay, but I don't think we lost anything.
Yeah, we're fine. Thanks, Zancaster. Yeah.
All right. So just moving on. One of the bigger pieces we missed was, or we hadn't talked about, the NHL draft.
Here and gone.
Yeah, biggest shocker, number one overall pick. Connor Bedard.
I can't believe they went with him.
Didn't know he was, didn't think he was going to get picked number one. But yeah, he's officially a Blackhawk. So there's a part of, small part of me that does not like him because fuck the Blackhawks. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't, it's going to be tough there for a while. I mean, like, he'll probably have like a decent rookie season, yeah, you know, because he'll play, he'll probably, like, he's probably going to hop in and like, does he play first line minutes?
I think the first line is probably going to be him, Hall, and somebody. Because picking up Taylor Hall, you know, people are kind of like,
helps. It's gonna
like, what are they doing? But you can't just put him in and put him with like AHLers. Like, you need to have somebody. Like, that's why they're overpaying. Like, I honestly think it'll be Hall, Bedard, Perry as their first line.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But
just get some grit up there to protect them. I mean, it's a good line. It's good to have them develop. I mean, they're still a lot of years away from competing, but
oh god, yeah. I mean, like, when I saw them against the Caps, I don't even remember when. Like, just looking at their lineup, you know, a couple months ago, oh, there was a lot of guys on that team where I'm like, who is this? Who are you? It's just so it was bad. It's literally a team of just AHL guys.
So no surprise there. Second overall pick, though. I mean, no disrespect to Leo Carlson. Sure, it's going to be a great player. Have Adam Fantilli fall down to three in Columbus's lap to the Metro. That hurt. That hurt.
Columbus has to be happy about that. I mean, like, they're the winners there.
Man, they got a hell of a prospect too.
Yeah, Carlson is a very solid player. I had heard through Chicklets that the Ducks were very much considering taking Carlson number two. And then, like, day of, it was kind of like up in the air of what they were actually going to do. I guess they were kind of sending smoke signals that maybe they were going to take Fantilli. But they ended up going Carlson. So, yeah, Fantilli fell right into the Blue Jackets' lap. And, you know, he came out and was, like, very happy to be playing there. You know, didn't want to have to go to Southern California.
Yeah, he's a Michigan,
guy. Yep. So, you know, he knows some guys that are, you know, Johnny Hockey has to be happy. I mean, like, granted, like, Mike Babcock coaching that team now.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe that happened either. Yeah, what the hell, like, is that about?
That's fucking brutal. Yeah.
Let me take a team with Johnny Gaudreau as a star and put Mike Babcock there. I don't think he's going to have to write a list about his least hardworking teammates like Mitch Marner did.
So, very surprised. Or not like surprised, but was actually shocked that Fantilli fell to three. Sharks got a good one with Will Smith.
I can't believe they made him sing The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in his interview.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, just absolutely. I mean, like, if we're going to
ever remember him for. It's the only thing.
If we're gonna be angry with anyone, we got to be upset with his parents. I mean, like, you knew what you were doing.
That's
there.
Facts. I mean, Will Smith, or, I think, was definitely in the scene before the Sharks. Will Smith was born.
Yeah, like, I gotta, like, if you are Will Smith, you got to go by Bill or
that's
like
what I'm saying. Like, even William. William works, man.
Yeah,
like,
it's Will. It's William Smith.
Billy.
Yeah, Willie, like, there's like a ton of different like name variations you have, but you're about to just go with Will. That's a tough one. And then the Canadians, Carey Price couldn't pronounce this guy's name.
And then he was getting death threats basically from Canadians fans. What a disaster overall.
and I heard it wasn't even that great of a pick, a little bit of a reach with him. I heard they had like, I don't know. People online were saying the Canadians had like one of the worst drafts.
Well, they
I don't know if it was all Canadian fans.
They took with a fifth round pick like that Wi-Fi's brother, Zcatch. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
The guy had like 9 points as a 20-year-old in the QMJHL. I was like, what are you doing? But I thought that was a reach. I thought the next pick to Simashev was a major reach.
I heard like Arizona had a tough draft too, especially with the matching suits that first day as well. That was brutal.
They took big Russians, basically. They're like, their last like three drafts, they've taken only guys that are like 6'3 and bigger. It's like kind of, I don't know what they're concocting over there, but
that'll work out.
Their dignitaries over there got out with the suits and everything. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. I guess they're kind of like, maybe they're getting ready for their Salt Lake move and they want big guys in Salt Lake. I don't know. Michkov falls to seven. Great pickup for the Flyers. I mean, like, they made out like bandits. You know, to have a guy that was two, three years ago, people were saying could go first overall, fall into your lap at seventh is insane.
Such a tough scene that he's in the Metro.
Yeah, very, very. Yeah, to have Fantilli and Michkov both in the Metro, and just why?
it seems like Michkov like really wants to be a Flyer too, and like really wants
to be
over here as soon as possible. Like
I think I had heard that when he met with Arizona, he told them he didn't want to play for them. Like, don't pick me at six.
I heard that and Washington. Yeah, the same thing. I mean, hey, he used it to his advantage like Jágr did. But I mean, if you're Philly, like he wants to come there, talk about you're getting a first overall talent. It's kind of like what happened a couple of years ago with McDavid and Eichel, where Eichel's a first overall talent, but he obviously wasn't going to go first overall with McDavid there. But Michkov's a first overall talent in probably a couple other drafts. Look at last year. Michkov goes first overall to probably Montreal every day of the week.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, if he's born a year earlier, I mean, talk about getting a pick that can just reinvigorate your fan base and get them back in after a really tough few years. Great pick by Philly.
And it works out for them too, because they're probably not going to start being decent again until he's ready to come over. And he's going to come over three years older, 3 years better. So,
basically inserting a first liner on an ELC for 3 years when you're coming out of your rebuild. My God, man.
Just, insane there. The rest of the draft, like after that,
Buffalo got a hell of a player. Benson.
Oh, yeah. He's legit.
Can't believe he fell. Anything else crazy?
Rangers got a pretty decent player fall to 23.
By the Rangers, man. I know you were pumped about that. That was a fantastic pick.
You know what? I was really happy about it because, like, they desperately need wingers because their winger depth isn't great. So he's definitely going to be a little bit of a project. He's not someone that you're going to see for a couple years, maybe at least 2 years. He's committed to BC, so he's going to be playing there come the fall. So hopefully, he spends a few years away.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I expect him to at least play 2 years in college and then maybe a year in the AHL after that, before he's actually NHL ready. So, but I mean, you gotta be impressed with his national development team stats. I think he had like 127 points and like broke the record this like last season or something. So, yeah, I was really happy with that. Really happy the Rangers surprisingly went with best player available at that pick. They didn't swing on anyone.
Yeah.
They had a really solid player fall into their lap. What I was saying was I think Dan Muse was behind that pick as well. As a guy he's coached, he's like, you take this guy. He fell into your lap, you take him. So pretty happy with that pick.
Good stuff, man.
And then some kid Musty got drafted a couple picks later.
Tough, all-time tough name. Yeah, I mean, the Rangers, I thought, hit a home run. Also, another all-time name on top of him, Oliver Bonk.
Yeah, right. I was going to say Bonk is just hilarious.
With the mullet like his dad. But yeah, I thought the Rangers made a great pick. I mean, did they make any other good picks throughout the draft before?
Not really. Their second pick was fine when they made that pick. I think it was in the third round. Gotcha. It was a fine pick. I don't remember who it was. But
Drew Fortescue?
Yeah, like not like a little bit of a reach, but like a safe pick at the time. And then after that, they just kind of went, they were just, all of the picks after that were complete swing for the fences. So it's like, are these guys going to pan out? Maybe. If not, I don't think anyone's going to lose sleep at the end
of
the
day.
Yeah. Overall, with the draft, I was a little upset that there weren't any like moves. Dude, or
what was that first round? That was
everyone make a pick?
There were no trades for the first time, I think, since like 2007. Because I texted you and I was like, okay, man, like I'm my Twitter notifications are off. Like, I'll text you like once Gary walks up to the podium, like, and I hear like, oh, there's a trade, because I want to like be in the moment again, like I was when I was a kid. And then nothing happened. Like, I had Lenny over for dinner. My girlfriend was like, oh, no. And I'm like, if this man walks up to this podium, you let me know, because I'm unmuting this TV right now. And she's like, okay, like, sure, whatever. And then I'm like trying to explain, like, no, this is not how it works. Like, there's supposed to be trades. He's supposed to walk up and say, I'm in a trade. And then everybody gets quiet. And it's supposed to be electric. And then nothing happened. And I looked like an idiot. So that was my
answer. Very, very boring draft overall. I don't think there were many moves from many teams. I think, like, obviously you see some people like move up in the draft and stuff, but in those later rounds, who cares? Like, it doesn't even really like matter at that point. So overall,
Let me see the NHL trade tracker, because I don't think anything really crazy happened, right? I'm going to go back to the draft. Oh, what is that? Ducks add Islanders top farm coach. Yeah, okay. let's see. What has happened since we last left off really quick? Unless there's anything else about the Rangers draft.
No.
I'll run to the trades super quick before I go to the Islanders draft. There was a lot of interesting moves. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'll throw some out here for our thoughts. Ryan Johansson to Colorado, 50%. Interesting deal.
Yeah. You know what? It's a move I think they needed to make because Landy's out.
Yeah, and they just didn't have that 2C last year with Kadri, so that killed them. And the Preds bought out Duchesne, so Barry's going AWOL. I love it.
Yeah, they tried filling that Kadri hole with Newhook, and now he's not even there anymore.
Yeah, that did not work out too well.
And now Montreal just has a team of like third line centers through all four lines. Yeah,
they're trying to build like the Seattle vibe with three second lines, four second lines. Taylor Hall capped on Chicago. We kind of touched on that. Very interesting. Kevin Hayes, St. Louis. That was rumored to be like a bigger deal with Torrey Krug and all of them, and that fell apart. So I guess Hayes is out. Torts didn't like him.
Yeah, that's like one of the worst kept secrets in the National Hockey League this past season was Torts did not like Hayes.
Yeah, not
good. I mean, he would just randomly scratch him like in the game, like well, like an hour before the game.
The day before the All-Star game, I think he got scratched. Oh, and Hayes was an All-Star. Newhook, like we said, first and a second. I think the guy picks 32 and 35. Pretty good deal, honestly. Can't complain there.
Like, my thing with that is, like, if the Rangers were, like, because it kind of came out that they were kind of shopping Laff to see what was out there. I think that especially came out, like, after they saw the Newhook deal, and they're like, this guy got a first-round pick back? Like, what can we get back for Laff, man? Jesus. Exactly. And then they, you know, their PR team was like, no, like we want him around and stuff. And, you know, I think he's on very thin ice in New York.
It's this season or bust for Laff, but that's a good benchmark of what they could get for him. Probably obviously more than that because he was a first overall pick, but good stuff. Pierre-Luc Dubois to the not Montreal Canadiens to the Los Angeles Kings for three players and not even a first round pick. So not so sure about that one from Winnipeg, but. Good for LA. LA and the Rangers had like the fakest rebuilds I've ever seen in my life. they're just totally shortcutting the Kings, but might as well get Dubois while you can, right?
Yeah, I mean, like Kings are good, and he re-signed there immediately too. Pretty long deal, so I don't think he sees the end of that deal. He'll probably in the next two seasons be like, I want to go home.
Pretty young. Oh yeah, true. Yeah, that's fine. Exactly.
I want to go home, guys. Please let me go home.
Yeah. Tyler Toffoli is a Devil. Great trade by the Devils. They're just loading up, man. Oh Jesus. Ross Colton is an Avalanche.
That was an interesting trade.
I don't think Tampa was too happy about that one.
No, I was going to say solid move for the Avs. Just going briefly back to the Devils, I just like to make myself not freak out. I just keep telling myself they're only like an injury away, like midseason from like having to like run an AHL guy on their nightly roster and hope that pans out.
The person to get hurt that would kill them would be Dougie Hamilton. That would sink them.
Yeah, because their defense is still a little suspect. Or if like a guy like Hughes somehow gets hurt. I mean, like I don't hope anyone ever gets hurt, but like, if Hughes gets hurt, I mean, that's kind of like you had a heart attack.
Yeah, not great. Riley Smith to the Penguins, loading up there as well. Crazy.
Hey, man, I hope they have another great season this year. Nothing but positivity for the Pens, man, even though they look so fucking mid.
Yeah, that looks like the most mid roster I've ever seen in my life. They're not making the playoffs. I'll say it right now.
There's absolutely – I mean, like, the heavy lifting that Crosby, Malkin, and Letang have to do, especially when two out of those three players get hurt a lot, and, you know, Letang has – a lot of health issues. Malkin, when was the last time he played more than like 60 games?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to look that up. Because I genuinely, I couldn't tell you the last time he played more than 60 games.
Yeah. It's a good pickup for Pittsburgh. I like Riley Smith. He was an original misfit, but doesn't really push the needle for me.
Okay, the last time that Malkin played, so apparently they're saying he played all 82 games this year. I just don't think that cannot be true.
I guess he did, man.
Outside of apparently this season, where he finished over a point a game, he has not played over 60. He played 68 games in 18-19. After that, 55, 33, 41. And granted, there was a shortened season in there at some point, but. I mean, he's constantly getting hurt. There's no fucking way he played a full 82 this year. I just don't believe that.
A big trade that I forgot about. I cannot believe we did not have this on the agenda. It was a very sad day. Not in the sense of money-wise or talent-wise anymore, but Josh Bailey is no longer a New York Islander. Traded with a second-round pick in 2026, which is a crazy time in the future for future considerations, but you know, man, it's a shame. He was such a good Islander. He finished with, don't quote me on this, I think he's third all time in games played and fourth all time in assists. I mean, those are some serious numbers. And he had a lot of good playoff moments, you know, a couple OT goals, a couple other sick goals. I mean, he's a part of so many things from 2008 till now, which is nuts. So 15 years of time. I mean, I was always a Bailey supporter, but you could kind of tell watching old highlights versus this season that he just wasn't what he used to be. And it's a shame because he was such a loyal Islander. He loved being an Islander, but to get that $5 million off the books was much needed, especially given how free agency went. So I hope he finds his spot somewhere in the league, man, but it's a shame, but it had to be done.
And he's one of those few players that reached that over 1,000 game milestone.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, still absolutely terrible that Lane Lambert scratched him so he didn't reach it at home. That was tough. He said in an article, I think, after he got traded, he was like, he was like looking back on it, getting scratched like the game before. I'm paraphrasing, of course. The game before my thousands probably should have been the sign that things were going to end this way. So I feel bad for the guy. He's a great guy. I think he's only 33, 34. So he's got some legs left, I think, kind of, maybe. I hope he revitalizes himself, but He's looking a little slow now, so good career, Josh. Yeah,
man. I mean, like, he got drafted in 89, drafted in 08. He's played a long time.
He had a very good career. I mean, he got pushed into the Islanders when they were trash when he was 18. So, you know, he made the most of it. Nothing but love for Jay Bales. Wish him the best in the future, but very crazy he's not an Islander anymore.
He almost had a point per game season in 17-18.
Yeah, he was an all-star. He was on a line. It was him, JT, and Okposo. They were all all-stars. Kind of sick. Good times.
And then they missed the playoffs. And now no one's there. Whole line, gone.
Good gosh. I mean, I don't even want to see a picture of like that 2013 team that made that playoffs for the first time in forever. I don't even know who'd be left. Cizikas and Martin, I think. That's really it.
That's crazy.
I'm not going to go through half these trades. Let's try to find the big ones. Pat Maroon. No longer a Lightning. I mean, did you really have to move his 900K? Was that really necessary, man?
I'm concerned Minnesota might be a wagon now. I mean, he goes places.
Put the future down.
Yeah, he goes places and, you know, he wins cups.
The fact that Pat Maroon almost won 4 straight cups is actually insane.
it's insane that he won, you know,
3 straight.
Yeah.
Torment to the Islanders. And we'll get to the last one later, but. I don't know if you have anything else, but just hopping to the Islanders draft really quick. They had a second round pick. They had a second, a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. They got Danny Nelson in the second round, who looks like a good little player out of the development program. Some people were saying he could be like a first round pick, late first round pick, high second round pick. So happy to get him at 49th. He's from Minnesota, and his favorite player growing up, supposedly, is Brock Nelson, so who's also from Minnesota. So very fitting. I think he's like just like a big center. I mean, 6'3" when he's 17, that's pretty good. So
that's huge.
I think he's just a typical Islander, like two-way forward center. So maybe he'll be a 3C or 4C one day. So can't complain about that. And then they picked up Jesse Nurmi in the fourth round, who, I don't know, he's good in shell. Maybe not in real life, he's a fourth rounder. And last but not least, they got Dennis Gudbog in the seventh round.
What a name.
Dennis Goodbog, baby. If he ever makes the league, I'm getting a Goodbog jersey. You can.
If his last name was Goodbod, I mean, like that would have just that would have been sick.
Good hyphen Bog is still pretty sick. So not too exciting of a draft for the Islanders, but you know, you got that trade throw in there to make it a little bit more interesting, and that was good. So that's all I got on the draft. I don't know if you got anything else you want to hop to. Free agency.
Yeah, huge free agency.
March on in our topics.
March on. Do we want to talk about Rangers Islanders first, or do we want to go chronological?
Okay. Let's see Rangers Isles. You can do the Rangers first.
Yeah, so I mean, like Rangers, like I kind of said earlier, they made a lot of moves. A lot of short term moves as well.
Yep.
Which was cool. Blake Wheeler, 1 year deal, $800,000. I don't think they spent more than $800,000 on most guys, which is pretty cool as well.
I was like, not to jump right in, but like to get that Wheeler is what he was a 50-point player, 55-point player last year.
Yeah,
that's not the guy you want to be making 9.25 like he was in Winnipeg. That is absurd. But for $800K, that is an incredible steal by the Rangers.
Yeah,
I think that's fantastic.
And it'll probably be like a third liner. And like I was talking to my friend Jake about it, and we were kind of like, you know, wouldn't a line of like, I mean, it would like Kreider has some speed, but a line of him, Kreider, Trocheck, Wheeler, I'm like, that's not like the worst third line in the world. That's not bad. I'm like, you know, you have Kreider and Trocheck who start, you know. Who get the offense jumping in the opposing team's defensive zone, and Wheeler kind of trails them, and you know he still has a decent shot, so
he can get to 20 goals. Player. He's a
he
big
gets
boy
to 20 too. Goals this year. You know, I'd be happy with that, especially for an $800,000 player.
That's the Parise way to do it, man. 800K pot 20. Give yourself some veteran leadership.
And he's happy. You know, he wanted to play with Troops again. And I saw an article that, you know, the locker room cancer in him was not what we think it was, because apparently the Jets have a lot of right wing guys in that locker room. I saw an article, or Jake showed me an article, that someone said there's like journalist who covers like sports and like a wide like variety of like different topics like all throughout like Canada and stuff. They're like, I have never been to a more depressing place than the Winnipeg Jets locker room. He's like, that place was fucking. He goes, it was legit miserable. Like, if they're not like talking to each other civilly, they're screaming at each other about like everything. Apparently a lot of guys very like Republican in that locker room. Blake Wheeler, very anti-Trump guy. No one seemed to like that. So welcome to New York, baby.
No airport in Winnipeg. Need to see it. That's a brutal, brutal place to be.
They got going to be a third line defenseman and Eric Gustafson, you know, $825,000. I would like to see Zach Jones, honestly, as the on the third pair.
I don't know, man. Bold prediction. I don't think it's happening.
I don't think so either. I think Jones probably will be a 7D.
I think he's running out of time there, to be honest.
The thing is, like, he's not that bad of a player. He's just they just refuse to give him a shot because they're like, oh, he's small. And like him and Adam Fox are the same size. They're literally both 5'11". You can't say Fox is this generational defenseman and Jones, like, you got to just give him a shot. But, you know, solid, you know, third pair defenseman at 825, so not too shabby. Tyler Pitlick, right wing depth, you know, 787.5.
I like Pitlick. He's a good bottom six guy.
Yeah, he'll be a great fourth liner, solid PK guy, so not too upset there. A trade that I thought – or something that I thought was going to happen at the deadline last year, Nick Bonino.
What a call by you.
Yeah, they'll probably carry him.
13.
They'll probably carry him around as just like a healthy scratch most nights. And, you know, if he's going to go get in the game, you know, we'll see what happens. But another one-year deal, $800,000. I'm looking at it sports track right now. They have Mikula's age is 2023 years old. So the fact that he can still move the way he does is bro, pretty crazy.
Bro got drafted with Jesus Christ himself. Oh, my God. That's crazy. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, they get their backup in Jonathan Quick.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Back in New York, or not back in New York, but he is from New York. So hey,
I think technically he's from Connecticut, but grew up a New York Rangers fan. So
minus one.
So you know, fine pickup. You know, not crazy about it, but also don't hate it.
It's a good year last year. I thought he wasn't bad.
Yeah, he'll be fine. You know. I think he's a fine backup. I think a lot of people are freaking out for no reason other than just to freak out. But
Of course. Yeah. What else would you expect out of Twitter? And the last thing I'm seeing here, the UFA is that did not return. Libor Hájek is not a New York Ranger
anymore. Yeah, I finally maybe you
yourself of your ghosts.
Maybe now the grass might be greener on the other side that Libor Hájek is no longer. I mean, like, it was very pleasant, like, not having him as like a healthy scratch every night this season, and the fact that he just got like buried in the AHL.
Yeah,
happy. You know what? I think good fortunes will happen to the Rangers because they're finally ridded of Libor Hájek, and I mean, they got rid of Brett Howden and they sacrificed a cup. Maybe they'll get one in return.
Yeah, Brett Howden, Stanley Cup champion.
I mean, Jesus Christ. I honestly never thought I would say that sentence in my entire life, unless like the Rangers won and he was on the team. But the fact that Brett Howden is a Stanley Cup champion is beyond me. But he might not be able to enjoy it for very long because that investigation coming to a head, buddy. That
is what we've heard. I think he's still unsigned. I saw a list of guys. It was like Howden, Formanton. Oh man, I saw this list the other day and I forgot all the damn names. There's a couple guys, notable guys on that team that are UFAs, Comtois. UFAs or RFAs that are not signed right now that I think teams are waiting on. So we'll see what happens. But
also the Golden Boy is still unsigned.
Oh. Alexi?
No. The Otter. Tyler Mott.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I didn't think you meant Lafreniere, but that was the only name I could think of. Yeah. No. Sorry about that. You know,
my Golden Boy is still not signed, but you know what? I think we got a fourth rounder somewhere.
I was going to say he's going to sign with like San Jose for like 700K and then get traded for a fifth to the Rangers at deadline.
He's coming home. He's coming home.
It's just like he's just like their 2 month rental every year. Honestly, like a loft in New York that just keeps you around.
Like, I know, like, there is still maybe a possibility that the Rangers bring Tarasenko back on, like, a cheap one-year deal because, like, apparently he wants to be in New York. I don't know, but if you still have some money after you sign Laf, bring Motter home, baby. Come on.
It would make
do the right thing.
A fourth line, well, yeah, I guess they probably want to play, like, Ottman or something. Brendan Othman, however you say it. But
yeah. I don't know. I think he plays in the A.
Then again, a fourth line of Mott, Bonino, and Pitlick is pretty good in my book, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't play Bonino and you play Goody on the fourth line.
Very true.
You have options there.
Yeah, very, very interesting. But we'll see what Laf gets in his future endeavors. But I think a good free agency overall for the Rangers, you know. I think that contract is fantastic. So
I thought like they made a lot of cheap moves just to kind of get through the year. You know, they're in a tight cap crunch because, you know, they're a playoff team. And when you lock guys up, you can make the argument a lot of these guys are making more than they should. 100%. I'd be right there with you, agreeing with you. But yeah, when you're a playoff team, you got to sign guys. And, you know, you're going to always have tight caps because, you know, you're not going to be a playoff team without guys that are signed long term or signed to big money. So that's where you're at. And hopefully, you know, when the cap jumps after next season and you get that $5 million in relief for everyone. A lot of those contracts don't look as bad, and hopefully after next season you can trade Goodrill and you got $8 million extra.
You gotta cross your fingers.
Hey man, Rangers win the cup. I think it's very easy to trade a three-time cup champion Barclay Goodrill.
I've had enough. Is he a three-time champ, or is he? It'd be a two-time champ, I think. I don't think he was on.
Well, if the Rangers win, he'd be three.
I don't know if he was on that 2021 Tampa team, to be honest. I think that
I thought he was.
Let me see. Goodrill Hockey DB. Was he not a Ranger? Am I stupid? Yep. He was on both teams. That rat. I should remember that, honestly. Just how much pain and strife those teams caused me. Ugh. Remember when remember when they traded a first round pick for Barkley Goudreau, and everybody's like, "What the fuck is Tampa Bay doing? Are they stupid trading a first for a fourth liner?" And then he went on to be like the best third liner in the playoffs for 2 years.
That's why though he got that insane deal in New York, because he was a fucking 2-time Cup champion. He only wins one, and maybe you get him for only 4 years instead of six. Guy commended 6 years.
You know, all the Islanders had to do was score a goal in Game 7 and Barkley Goudreau.
That doesn't happen. Yeah, I'm okay, I have
what you know, a butterfly Blake, effect.
I have Blake Coleman on the team.
Man, what a butterfly effect that is. You hate to see it, but yeah. Anything else with the Rangers, or should I go into the Islanders signings?
No, I think we've covered everything. I'm very happy with the way their free agency went. I thought it went as well as it could have. You know, tight cap and Chris Drury, you know, did his thing with the limited amount of cap space that he had. So,
yeah,
you know, locked up. Spoiler, you know, I'll just get it over with today. Locked up Keandre Miller for 2 years.
Yeah,
2 years.
Go to that now. Might as well.
2 year deal, a little bridge deal at 3.872. So, you know, he'll get paid 2 summers from now. So, 2 years to essentially go. You know, how much are you going to ask for when you're going to ask for it? You know, they're going to want to keep him around. I think he's only going to be 24 at that point. So, you know, he'll probably command like a seven-year deal at that point, which, you know, I wouldn't be too upset about, especially with the cap going up.
Yeah, he's probably ramping up for the cap going up.
So, you know, cap goes up. Yeah, he could probably command a little bit more money, a 7 or 8 year deal at like 20. How old? He's got to only be like 22 or maybe even 21. Mm-hmm. Let me see right now real quick. Yeah, he's only – okay, so 23. So he'll be 25 when that deal ends. You sign him for 7 years. Got him until he's 32 at that point, 32, 33. Not too bad. You know, he's probably still going to have his wheels at that point towards the end of that deal. And if you need to trade him, trade him. But the cap will still be going up when that deal's coming to a close. So very, very happy with the Rangers free agency. Overall, I tweeted about it. They did a lot with the limited space that they had, and they got way more depth than anticipated.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Also, before you, Mikola signed with Florida, 3 year deal, 2.5 a year, 7.5.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that. I can't believe Florida has the money for that, to be honest. I guess he's like a Gudas replacement because he got the bag in Anaheim.
But... yeah.
So the Islanders, here, 1 second, just pulling it up. The Islanders, they did a lot in free agency. Of course, I was at an engagement party all day with no service in the middle of New Jersey, so I was like dying. Not being able to.
Also,
I got one text from you, and that was like the only text I got all day. Nobody from any, like nothing from anything else. And it was like, how do you feel about the Sorokin deal? And I was like, somebody give me their phone, or go ahead and give me your phone.
Also, that was the day the fucking rate limit exceed thing happened. I mean, what a day for that to happen.
What a disaster.
Jesus Christ.
Elon did not pay his Google bill because it's gone.
So. I heard that was a myth.
Oh, really? Damn. That's kind of hope to be true. Man, I hope Zuck
it probably is true.
Crap out of
really
him.
Honest.
I really hope Zuck just beats him up. So a lot happened for the Islanders. They dished out a lot of money, but it was all at the players they had already. So 2 7-year deals to Scott Mayfield and Pierre Engvall, coming in at 3.5 for Mayfield and 3 for Engvall. Starting with those, you know, the term is a lot. Mayfield is 30 and Engvall is 27. The thing about it is, what, the age?
Mayfield got a 7-year deal at 30? Okay.
Hear me out. I don't think it's as egregious as it is. Get you figure. Let's fast forward 5 years into the future. Mayfield probably slows down by then. We can all accept the writing on the wall. I like Mayfield a lot, but if he gets bought out with, I think I did the math, it was 2 years or 3 years left, the cap hit is only 800K for about 5 or 6 years. With if the cap goes up, that's not bad. So I think they're banking on the cap rising up a lot. The thing with Lewis, he gives out these long deals to minimize the cap hit on him. He did the same thing with Pelech and Pulock and everybody else. So it is scary that he's 30 and got the 7-year deal for Mayfield. I think the Engvall one is a little bit less egregious. Is it crazy to give Pierre Engvall 7 years? Probably, but he proved to be a pretty good player for the Islanders. I don't think he's worth 7 years, but I think these are the things you can kind of live with at this point, because you know a couple years down the line, the cap goes up. There's going to be a rebuilding team that will take a second and a third for Pierre Engvall if it comes down to it, you know. But I think Pierre's got some legs. He's got some good hands. He's a fast guy. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's clearly a win now move. The Islanders are still keeping their window open. I mean, Lou is what? He's 81 now, I think. The guy is going to be almost 90 when these deals expire. So I don't think he cares. I really don't think he cares. I think he just wants to win now and minimize that cap hit and like just win and just have that flexibility now. Thank God they traded Bailey, because they only have like 400K of cap space right now. So I think that he just does not care necessarily about the future. Not that he doesn't care, but like I think he knows it's not his problem in a couple years down the line. But
that's a scary thing to think about as a fan.
I mean, I think everybody, including myself, as much as I don't want to admit it, the writing is on the wall that the Islanders have probably about 4 to 5 years to do something special here, which I don't have too much confidence in, but oh God, we're so done for. I think in 6 years' time, when I'm 30 years old, I think I'm going to have to really sit through like a long, I'm going to have to sit my kid down and be like, you're going to have to be an Islander fan, but this team is going to suck for the first 10 years of your life. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This team is going to be ass.
Time is a flat circle. I went through it. Now it's your turn. Oh, I'm passing the torch on to you.
I already went through it.
My watch has ended and yours has now begun.
2007 to 2015 was so bad. I mean, a few good years in there, here and there, but my God, I already went through a rebuild. I can't do it again. Yeah, so I think it's kind of a win now thing. They're kind of hoping that you got Horvat for a full year and Barzal, and Nelson is still a fantastic player. So I think if Pierre Engvall can kind of keep that magic and chemistry alive with Nelson and Palmieri, because they were their best line for the last 10 games of the year, then it could be good. But it's definitely a win now move. The craziest deal, I thought, was giving Varlamov a 4-year deal when he is 35, taking him to he's 39 years old. I get it. He's a great goalie still. He led us to 2 conference finals. He's buddy-buddy with Sorokin. Fantastic. 4 years when he's 35 at 2.7, that's a lot. That was the only contract where I was like, damn, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's a brutal deal.
For a backup goalie at this point, that's – I love Varlamov, but I don't think I would have given him that deal.
No, it's probably like 2 years too long if you were going to extend him only like 2 years.
I would have been fine with 2 years and maybe even like a bigger cap hit at $3 million maybe. Like I'm not opposed to that, but 4 years was a lot. But the good news about it is that they signed Ilya Sorokin as an Islander for 8 more years, 8.25. It's a ton of money for a goalie. I paying goalie scares me a lot, but you cannot afford to lose Sorokin. And I think we're blessed to have Sorokin and Shesterkin battle it out for the foreseeable future, for the next 8 years of our lives at least. But I think it's just such a win for the Islanders on that day to get that locked up. You know, it's day one, he's eligible, he signs it right away. He clearly wants to be an Islander. It's not a distraction for the whole year. And it's just awesome. I mean, he's a top 3 goalie in the league. So he finished second in Vezina voting, but above Ullmark and Hart voting, may I remind you of that much. We're not even going through the awards. I don't even want to deal with that crap. But, you know, he's awesome. I mean, you know how awesome he is. I think everybody is aware now of how good Sorokin is. He needs to string together a good playoffs. There's been some times, like, he won them that Pittsburgh series a couple years ago. Good for him. Like, I appreciate that. But he looked like he was shell-shocked against Boston. And this was his really first chance to be in the playoffs this season. And he went up some real stinkers. Like, I need him to be, like, that dog in the playoffs as he's in the regular season, because he can give up, like, he'll make this amazing paddle save and then he'll give up a stinker from the sideboard. So if he locks in, he can steal some playoff series, man. So I'm excited about the future with that.
Yeah, no, that's a very solid contract. Very, very solid, you know, locking up your number one goaltender for 8 years. the money is always suspect when, you know, with these guys, but, 8 years is what is he, only like 25 or something?
Yeah, so I think it takes until he's like 34, so it's not bad. I mean, like you said, paying goalies is scary, but I'm happy to have that. I'm sure the Rangers will do the same with Shesterkin, so
That's yeah, I mean, yeah, we at least have that goaltender battle for the next 5 years. Because I think this was year one of Igor's 6-year deal.
You'll have to see it. And then last thing, I don't think the Islanders lost anybody major. I mean, Parise is still TBD if he's retiring or not. He's either Islanders or retiring. So I'm kind of figuring Parise's not back at this point. Didn't really lose anybody else. Oliver Wahlstrom, kind of like laugh, is still unsigned. Big proven year for him. We'll see what happens there. He's coming off an ACL injury, so you know, you never know what's going to happen there. And the Islanders also signed some more depth, including former Ranger Julien Gauthier.
Michael Grabner 2.0.
Don't disrespect 30 goal scorer grabs like that. Yeah, I mean, it's a good depth piece. I think it just like, it's good to see them going for some speed. I will say that. I'm not expecting much out of him, but
can't. He's going to be sick when he gets a fucking breakaway and does like a backhand, you know, top shelf over Shesterkin.
Just wait for the – he's going to weasel his way into the lineup with an injury and become a mainstay and score the OT winner in the stadium series.
Yeah, I'm not mentally prepared for that just yet.
Yeah, but I would love to have him – if he's a 13th forward instead of Johnston, excuse me, perfect. Fine with that, but, you know, we'll see what happens. And then just kind of the last point about the Islanders, there were rumors that they were offering Jean-Gabriel Pageau, Oliver Wahlstrom, plus more for Alex DeBrincat. But DeBrincat had his sights set on Detroit, as we know, and wound up there. So Lou did try, man. He did try to make it work. If I'm the Islanders, though, I think Wahlstrom, according to Elliot Friedman, he didn't request a trade, but it was kind of like, I would like to probably get a new start, which is fair. This is a big proof of season for Wahlstrom. I'm not the biggest Wahlstrom fan. I think he's got some potential, but he's okay to me. I don't value him as highly as other Islander fans, but I'd be a little mad if I was JG Pageau, not going to lie, but I guess hockey is a business, right? So,
unfortunately, it's a mean business sometimes.
It really is, but it's a shame they didn't get to bring it. I mean, I'm not too upset about it, to be honest. I think in terms of all the other Islanders, they've met all the other players the Islanders have missed, like Goudreau and certain other people who have left money on the table to go to other teams, that that DeBrincat was low on my list for like hurt, you know? I mean, he's good. 2-time 41 goal scorer, sick. I just didn't know where he fit in per se, you know. Obviously on the first line, but you know, it's tough to say those things. So he always wanted to go to Detroit, and it is what it is. He's gonna be UFA when he's 29. He'll cash in on a $10 million deal. Congrats, Alex. Way to weasel your way out of Ottawa.
Just another name on the former future Islanders list.
It ever grows. Some Islander fans on Twitter were talking about booing him. I was like, come on. Like,
that'll show him.
Yep. Like, what are we doing here? What that'll are we doing?
Yeah, I guess just briefly going over some other moves that just across the league.
Yes.
I thought Anaheim did decent in free agency. I mean, like they just got a lot of money
for Kalorn.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a brutal deal. 6.25 4 years for a 33-year-old center is tough, but you know what? Kind of like Goodrow, you're a 2-time Cup winner. You're 33. Anaheim is not gonna be great anytime
cash
soon.
Why
not
brother.
Just fucking cash a check?
Yeah,
call it a day. Gudas, a lot of money for him too. 4x3 for
some good protection
defenseman.
Though.
Yeah. Nothing really else there. They got Jason Zucker.
Why do they have Jason Zucker? He went to Arizona. Another mistake. Come on, spot track. Where's your proofreader?
Yeah, really. Arizona, they didn't like. I wasn't really impressed with much of their moves.
Who wants to play there anyway?
Exactly. Boston didn't really do a ton besides bring Lucic back and sign
Chattenkirk
and Riemsdyk. I was talking to Jake about this, and I briefly texted you about this. I think Boston's taking a significant step back from where they were.
I think they're still a division, but
I don't know. I think they're a wild card team.
Charlie Coyle is your 1C right now.
That's what I mean. Like, he's their 1C right now because you're still up in the air about Bergeron. Is he coming back? Krejci's probably not coming back. Hall's gone. Bertuzzi's gone. That lineup is looking pretty suspect right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, an aging Marchand, too. So you're only really
Guns in my head, I think Bergeron's back. Krejci, I think he's gone.
But yeah,
we'll see. I don't know how Bergeron can go out on that, man.
Yeah, that was kind of brutal. Moving on to Buffalo. They signed Connor Clifton, so another defenseman that, I mean, like, not like an insane defenseman for the Bruins, but, you know, defenseman lost. 3-year deal there. Eric Johnson signs, you know, a contract. You know, it's time in Colorado, it come to an end, you know, cup champ. So,
yep.
Good for him. Nothing else really there. Carolina signed Orlov 2 years, 7.75.
I'm on Calgary. Sorry, I'm going to go to Carolina. Calgary didn't do anything, so it's okay to skip them. Their biggest free agent signing was Jordan Osterley, which should tell you something. That's pretty bad.
Carolina. Yeah, Carolina. I thought they had a decent, you know, free agency. Orlov for 2 years.
Very unique.
Yeah. Anderson, another 2-year contract. Fast stays in Carolina, which is, you know, decent move for them. And Ronta is, a backup still, 34 years old.
No trust in Kachekov. Jeez Louise, man.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're not giving him a shot. Like, sooner or later, he's probably going to ask for a trade if he's not playing anytime soon. Yeah. And he's decent, so I don't know what they're doing there. Former Ranger legend Dryden Hunt signed a 2-year deal in Calgary. Not much else. Calgary is in a world of hurt right now.
Nobody wants to play in Calgary.
Chicago only made one move. They signed Ryan Donato, 2-year deal.
Yeah, they made those few trades for Foligno and Perry, though. So they got some good players.
Colorado made a lot of signings. Miles Wood.
They reunited Drouin and McKinnon. That's cool. I didn't know that. It's good for them. Yeah, that Miles Wood contract was nuts, by the way.
It's 2.556.
Who would ever sign a fourth liner into 6 years? Not the Islanders. it's crazy though, but that's like what goes through my mind. I'm like, I see Colorado do this and I'm like, what in the hell are they possibly doing? And I see the Islanders do it. I'm like, you know what? Good deal, man. It's like Kool-Aid coming out.
And they brought the boy back, Jack Johnson, running it back with Colorado, man.
Pay off that bet, man.
You know what, man? He seems like he found a home too late in his career at 36. I feel like Colorado, like, if he had landed there like 6 years ago, I think he would probably be living a really happy life.
I think so.
Dallas signed Matt Duchene, 1-year deal.
That was a good deal.
Good little pickup there.
Just loves the South.
Yeah.
My God.
Sam Steele, Joel Hanley, Craig Smith. So whatever. Nothing too crazy there. Detroit, JT Compher, 5-year deal, 5.1.
I don't know what the guys are planning this, man. They've,
I don't either, man.
What the hell? Oh, I mean, good on him for getting DeBrincat because, I mean, he kind of fell into his lap, right? Because DeBrincat's a Michigan guy. He wanted to be there, but my God, you know, you go back 3 weeks ago, you're signing JT Compher for 5.1 mil and Justin Hull for 3.4 mil. It feels like the Red Wings are like, they're even more mid than Pittsburgh. Like, they're trying to fill out the roster with these strange free agents that are kind of on the fringe of like top 6D or middle 6 forward to try to like accelerate their rebuild. They're going to finish in 11th or 10th place in the conference, man. Like, they're not – they don't have a playoff team, and they're spending so much money. I don't understand what he's doing.
Yeah, JT Compher, Justin Hull, Gothisbear, Daniel Sprong, Alex Lyon, Borgen Rafferty, James Reimer, Christian Fischer, and Tim Gettinger, former Rangers ledge, or I should say former Wolfpack ledge. A lot of signings there.
Spotrick to start blasting a Hyundai ad in my ears. However, that honestly might have came through my mic, so my apologies.
I didn't hear anything. Edmonton didn't do a whole lot. Connor Brown, Benjamin Gleason, Lane Peterson, and Drake Kajulia.
Oh, they brought back McDavid's best friend. That's good for them. Actually, they traded him for the guy that hurt him his rookie year. That's a Ken Holland, man.
So Florida made a move. I didn't know Evan Rodriguez is that old. 29 years old. Fuck him.
I want him for the Honors third line so bad. Or Michael Bunting.
Wait, yeah, 4-year deal for him. $3 mil a year, 29. You know, decent signing there. Mikkola, we said before, he got a 3-year deal there. Ekman Larson signed in Florida, 1 year, 2.25. William Lockwood.
You know, Anthony it's like Stolarz, with Florida here. It's like,
wow, they made a ton of fucking signings.
they got two guys, Ekman Larson and Mike Riley, both really bad last 2 years with Vancouver and Boston, their new teams. But they're good players, man. And I think they like bet on themselves. So it makes me confused why they went after Mikula with so much money when they could use it elsewhere. Because I think Riley and Ekman Larson like could be very valuable signings, I guess is the word I'm looking for. They have a high upside, so I don't know. I think the Ekman Larson signing makes a lot of sense. So
yeah. Moving on to the Kings.
Patrick Kornfuss retired. I just saw him on the Florida list. Your boy.
Yeah, I texted you this when I saw that news as well. He's officially off the hate list, and if we want, we can take a brief pause and go over the hate list while, now that so, the season's over. just taking him off the list. Okay, so running it from the top, we have Jake Guentzel, Rat Fuck. He's always number one on the list, Rat Fuck. Tom Wilson, Scumbag, Piece of Shit, Rat Fuck. Evan Rodriguez, Scumbag, Rat Fuck, and Injured Heedle that one time. Dancing Larry, self-explanatory. Penn's Goalhorn, just infuriating. George Parros, Clown Emoji. Malkin, Guy is Just a Joke. PK Sluban, Devil's Dick Rider for some reason, and Paul Stastny ruined a parlay for me one time. Paul Stastny, that rat. He always rounds out the list.
Bro scored 3 goals on 4 shots against Sounders. Unbelievable.
So, you know, hopefully looking forward to the 23-24 season so we could add a few more names to that list. But that's the current hate list at the moment. And sorry, this is a rated R show. So if any kids are listening,
it really is.
Make sure this is like a rated M game. You got to ask your parents to listen to this before you hit play. You got to ask mom and dad if it's okay. Moving on to the Kings. Cam Talbot signed with them. Andreas Englund, David Riddick, Steven Santini,
Trevor
Joe
Lewis.
Pickett's.
Good for Trevor Lewis going home back to the Kings where he won that great 2014 Stanley Cup.
Boo. Really happy for him. Boo. So the Kings are a decent team, like up and down like their roster, but their goaltending sucks. Is
awful. It's Talbot Talbot and Riddick. Copley. And Riddick, I guess. Yeah, what the hell are they doing over there? Who's playing in the AHL? Copley, I guess.
I mean, like, if you're gonna make that trade for Dubois, why don't you also like give up a little bit more and try to get Hellebuyck?
That would have been wild.
I mean, like that.
Give up Byfield in a first and go get Hellebuyck, man.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing there, but their goaltending is suspect. Minnesota, not too many moves. Former Rangers legend Vinny Lettieri. He signed a 2-year deal there, $775,000 to be exact. Not much else there. Montreal, couple moves. Rangers legend Elias Anderson signed with Montreal.
I hope there's no wires in Montreal, man.
Jeff Gordon just can't say no to this guy, right, man. He fucking loves this guy.
I didn't even put it together. I'm dead.
Jeff Gordon loves this guy, man.
Here's the weirdest team of all time. With Barry over there. What the hell is going on over there? You buy out Duchesne and trade Johansson, and then you get Ryan O'Reilly for 4 years. And I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. I think it's a culture thing. I really do. I think Barry just seen from the inside, like a Winnipeg situation. He's like, we're cutting the snake off at the head, man.
Yeah, change the culture, suck for a few years, get a lot of – I mean, they have a lot of picks in the next couple of years, so kind of rebuilt the team that way. We skipped over the Devils.
Did we?
They signed Nathan Bastion to a 2-year deal, Justin Dowling, Michael McLeod.
Nobody really from the outside.
Yeah, no one from the outside. Meyer, that deal, oof. 8 years, I think it was 8x8.
8x8.8 maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Sucks that he's still in the Metro, but
they got a good team, man. That's just what it is.
Hopefully he can continue his playoff experience from last year and just kind of exist on the ice and not do much else outside of that.
I think they'll be a good team again, but gun to my head, if I look at their defense being so young and their goaltending being Vanecek and somebody else. I can't remember because they want to start Schmid in the AHL. It's Vanacek and somebody. I don't know who it is. That's not a Stanley Cup winning back end to me. I think they're going to try to pull like a 2016-17 Pens and just try to outscore everybody to the cup, to be honest. But
we'll yeah, see. I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to maybe go after Hellebuck before the season starts, but I don't think they're going to get away with like a St. Louis or a San Jose trade with Meyer. I think if I'm Winnipeg, I'm like, you got to come up some prospects for him. I mean, like, especially if he's going to re-sign there, it's like, there's no fucking way we're trading, you know, is he won two Vezinas?
Maybe one.
Yeah, he's definitely won one, I think. So I have no idea, to be honest. Let me look it up before I start talking out of my ass like normal.
It's a good Puck Doku question. What a great game.
There we go. I like hesitated how to spell. Oh, he's also kind of old too, Hellebuck. I didn't realize he's 30 already.
He's 30. Yeah, I actually looked it up today because I saw he had another kid. And he had like, it looked like his daughter was like 2. I was like, damn, he's 30.
Yeah, so just one Vezina in 2020. So, yeah, maybe they go after him. I don't know. I don't really know. Yeah, they're goaltending suspect. And I think, it's smart that Schmid will probably play in the AHL because that guy's a fraud. he's definitely not ready for the NHL. And I don't know if he will be ready for the NHL ever because he had a couple good games against the Rangers and then looked like a complete loser against the Hurricanes. So, there's that. Ottawa.
That's so much money for Korpisalo, but
that's a lot of money, man.
So much money. $4 million for 5 years. Jesus.
Yeah. Hamonic 2-year deal, 1.1, and then a couple other signings. Nothing crazy. Philly made a couple signings. The biggest one was Garrett Hathaway, 2-year deal, 2.375.
I'm so intrigued to watch Philly next year. I think it's just gonna be so fun to watch them. Shout out to my boy Kiefer Bellows, UFA. All the Islander fans were like, I can't believe we lost him on waivers. Yeah, morons.
Oh, also Mark Stahl, he signed with Philly. 1-year deal, 1.1. Oh, nice.
Good for him.
So, back in the Metro. Moving on to Pittsburgh.
My God.
Yeah, Noel Achari, their biggest signing was Ryan Graves, 6-year deal, 4.5. That is a fucking brutal deal.
That is rough. I think he's a good player, but that is rough.
He's decent, that's a lot of term for a player like him. I would definitely not have given him a 6-year deal. Maybe a 4 is where I'd top it out at.
Yeah,
I'd even say maybe even only like a 3-year deal at 28. Tough deal there. Noel Achari, 3-year deal, $2 million even. Lars Eller, 2-year deal, 2.45. Matt Nieto, $900,000 deal for 2 years.
A lot of mid going on.
Yeah, they got a backup, I guess, for Jari. They really believe in Jari, and they got that guy from Carolina. I think he was from Carolina, right?
He went to Detroit for a little bit.
Yeah, he was from Detroit.
Delkovich.
Yeah, just mid. Overall, very mid team.
They gave a lot of money to Jari too, man. That's a lot of money for a guy who just hasn't proved it yet.
And they lost Dumoulin because right up next, Seattle signed Brian Dumoulin, 2-year deal, 3.15. And Yamamoto, 1-year deal, 1.5.
Seattle boy.
Kind of like a prove it, man. I didn't realize he's still like so young, 24. That's crazy.
Yep.
Guy from Tampa Bay, Bellemare. He signed a 1-year deal in Seattle, but not much else. Blackwood signed a 2-year deal with San Jose, 2.35.
It's a good bet. I mean, 3 years ago, when they were talking about a best-on-best tournament, he was going to be a goalie for Canada. It's a good bet by San Jose. Might as well see if he can regain that form.
Another good bet San Jose took. Philip Zadina, 1-year deal there,
all right, good
1.1.
Bet.
So kind of
a crazy situation.
Change of scenery. Maybe he finds his game or gets his game back. Crazy that he was a sixth overall pick a couple years ago. And
a $5 million on the table for Detroit. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. St. Louis didn't really do much. Brought in Malcolm Subban.
He can sing the anthem.
Literally nothing. I can't wait to want to do that. Tampa Bay lost Killorn, brought in Connor Sherry. Brought in Luke Glendening, Calvin DeHaan, Logan Brown. Some good depth pieces there. You know, I think they'll hurt from that loss of Kolarin, but not too bad.
I think, like, for them, it's kind of like it's kind of like an over the hill type thing. That team's old.
Yeah.
They got a lot of decent players still, but and they'll definitely still compete, but they're definitely older and slowing down a little bit. So, but hey, can't be upset. They went to what, 3 cups, 1-2. Yeah. So
I can not be upset.
not too many, you know, unhappy people in Tampa.
Nope. Toronto, really some weird ones here. I mean, you lose O'Reilly, Hall, Shen, Kerfoot, and Achari, but then you bring in Tyler Bertuzzi for 1 year, which is crazy. I mean, there's rumors that he wants to go back to Boston after the season. That's why it's not a 1 year deal. But still, I mean, you get Bertuzzi for a year. That's great for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they bring in Max Domi. Those are two just big rats on the ice. You know, he's Ty Domi's son too. So that's pretty sick. And they get a ludicrous contract for Ryan Reeves. So.
That is, I mean, when I saw that, I was like, there's no way they signed him to 3 years. Like, I thought it was bad at the Rangers. What?
Almost 1.4 mil. Not even like it's under a mil, man. It's crazy.
Like, I thought it was bad when the Rangers traded for him and then signed him to an additional year before, like, he even played a game for New York.
Yep. You
know, we talked our shit about that deal, but it's like, I think Toronto has all but made the Rangers, like, I mean, that deal doesn't even matter anymore. Who cares? I think the Rangers still got him under at least under 1.4. I think they signed him with like a 1 or 1.1 mil.
I cannot believe they gave him 3 years. I mean, good for them for getting some spark in there. You know, I think guys like Reeves, Bertuzzi, and Domi, it's what that team needs because they're so soft. They're so soft. So I think that's what they need exactly, but definitely questionable when Reeves gets 3 mil.
Yeah, for sure.
And John Klingberg. Also, a lot of money for John Klingberg.
Yeah, a lot of money for John Klingberg.
The guy plays zero defense, but that's okay.
Oh, this accidentally. I lost all of my, I lost my order.
Yeah, okay, we're up to Vancouver, who did not do much. They signed Carson Soucy. Awesome. So happy for them. Vegas. I don't think Vegas really did anything. They didn't really do much. They got literally the only person they signed was Mason Gertsen, former Ranger. Good for them. Cool. Washington bet on Max Pacioretty. Kind of like that for them.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bet. That's not a terrible move for them.
He's 35.
Locker room guy, older guy. So yeah, Dylan McElrath. I think he re-signed with them.
Like an NHL guy. Yep.
Winnipeg didn't do much either, besides sign Vlad Nemestikov for 2 years at $2 million. So have fun in Winnipeg for half a season before you get traded. Like, he's become like the deadline guy. Like, he just gets moved at the deadline every year to teams that are like competing.
I don't see many times this guy's been traded. I mean, he was a big piece in the McDonough.
I think he's gotten traded like 6 times in the last like 4 years.
I got it. 2018, he was moved from Tampa to the Rangers.
Yep.
2019, he was moved from the Rangers to Ottawa. 2020, he was moved from Ottawa to Colorado. And then he's like, okay, I need some stability in my life. So in October of 2020, he signed with Detroit. He was there for a while. Good for him. Then he got traded from Detroit to Dallas in 2022. Signed with Tampa in 2022. And then he was traded from Tampa to San Jose in 2023. And then he was traded from San Jose to Winnipeg in 2023. And he's like, enough. I'm signing in Winnipeg.
So eight teams in the last, you know, however many years, you know, 5 years or whatever. That's crazy.
I was bro just not gotten the bag of the KHL at this point.
I don't know, man. He likes America too much.
Yeah. That's all I got, though.
That pretty much wraps it up in terms of
free agency. We'll save our new segment for the opening of season 3.
Yeah, we gotta. Hopefully, we'll have some content for you guys throughout the summer. If anything crazy happens in the next couple weeks, we'll probably be back. I don't know when the next time we're recording is because we are officially like now in the dog days of
the season. We're both going on vacation. Who knows, man?
Yeah, so it might be a while before you hear from us again. But
maybe like mid August. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, thank you for tuning in. A little bit of a long episode for you. I'm hopefully.
Jesus.
I still have to go to the gym. That's a crazy thing, too.
At least it's
so hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Hopefully you enjoyed us coming back. You know, we're excited to be back.
Great to be back.
Clap it up, snap it up.
Love to see this.
Hopefully you're just as excited for the 2023-24 season as we are. You know, let us know if you're going to be at that Stadium Series game. Maybe we'll say hey to you.
We'll sign some autographs, kiss some babies, you know.
Yeah.
Sign some
babies, kiss some autographs. Make sure you're following. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher. You can listen to us on Spotify for Podcasters if you want. Woo! Since Anchor got acquired. Anchor is dead. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at From Broad to Bell. We've been tweeting a lot of off-season content there, and we'll be tweeting again once the season gets brought back up. Listen to the podcast more than once. Write us a nice little review. Rate us 5 stars. Share it with your friends. And that's about it. Kevin, you got anything else?
No, sir.
All right. I don't know when the next time we'll see you guys is, but we'll see you guys in the near future. Peace.